Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is the epistle lesson, where we hear once again these words. See how greatly the Father has loved us. We are called God's children, and that is what we are. The world does not know us because it did not know him. Dear friends, we are now God's children, but it has not yet been shown what we are going to be. We know that when it will be shown, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. And everyone who puts his hope in him purifies himself, just as Christ is pure. These are the words of our text. Yesterday, we had our photographs taken here at church. And I forgot to tell the confirmands that I was going to ask them one question. Actually, maybe two. When I was confirmed in the olden days, we would have to sit up in front with the pastor and he would ask us questions out of the catechism. And we had to know them. We had to know confirmation verses. But I'm going to ask you a relatively simple question. But before you answer, I want you to think very carefully, because it could be a trick question. And the question is, whose child are you? Think about that for a moment. Whose child are you? Anybody care to answer? Ethan? Very good. You're God's child. I sort of expected that you would say, well, dummy pastor, I'm Mike and Sandra's child. Or any of your other parents. But you're God's child. That's what John is talking about in our reading. He says, what amazing love the Father has for us, that we should be called children of God. And then he sort of puts the exclamation to it and says, and that's what we are. We're God's children. You're God's children. You were made God's children in the water of baptism. A long time ago for you. And you probably don't remember anything of that day, except maybe photographs that you look at. But my guess is that you don't remember the water being sprinkled on your forehead. You don't remember if you cried and fussed during the baptismal service or if you slept quietly through it. Your parents know. Your grandparents know. Your godparents know. And maybe today they'll talk about that a little bit in conversation. My guess is when you come up here this morning in a little bit, nobody's going to be crying and fussing. And nobody's going to sleep through it. But you're going to be standing there and you're going to be answering the same questions that your godparents spoke for you. And the faith that you were baptized into, you're going to say, is my faith. With your own lips, with your own words, prayerfully from your own hearts. We're God's children. And what a wonderful child to be. But you're also your parents' children. And my guess is, if I didn't know who your parents were, and you said, well, match up the child, the son or daughter, with the parents, I would imagine that if I looked closely enough, I'd probably do a pretty good job of matching you up with the right parents, because you reflect your parents. In your facial features, in your stature, because your parents are very much a part of you, aren't they? Also, as God's children, we want to reflect God in our lives because he's very much a part of us. I'm going to share something with you that I've never shared with anyone else before. It's a photograph. Who do you think that is? That is me. That's my confirmation picture almost 30 years ago. This boy doesn't look anything like the man standing before you, does he? But when I look at that picture, I can see my mother in me. I know that I carry with me the faith that my father had, because he was very much diligent in seeing that I did my lessons in Sunday school and confirmation. But 30 years ago, if I had a picture of what I look like today to look at and it said, that's what you're going to look like 30 years from now, I probably would not have believed it. Any more than if I could take a picture from the future of what you're going to look like 30 years from today. Some of you may be gray. Some of you may be bald. Some of you may have grown a little bit more in height and in width. But I won't know what you look like until maybe if I see you 30 years from today. John says that when he appears, we will be like him, though we don't know what it will be. Because it hasn't come yet. We haven't appeared with Jesus yet. But we will one day, and John says, but we know when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. Now John is saying that we're not going to look exactly like Jesus looks. But he says that we will be perfect and holy and completely righteous like Jesus is. And we don't know what that will be like until we see him in his perfection and in his holiness and in his righteousness. In this world, we will continue to sin. We will be far from perfectly righteous in our own right and by our own merit. We will show our Lord Jesus in our lives, in our speech, but only he will know in your hearts if the faith that you profess today is a true faith and a genuine faith. And when he appears, then you will be found in him. John also says, and everyone who puts their hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Now, I know that over the last 2 years, you all did a marvelous job of trying to portray yourselves as pure little angels to me. If I had conversations with Mom and Dad afterwards, I would know that it is different than that, because you're typical teenage children. And there are battles that go on within and without, between yourself and between siblings and between parents and between wanting to be God's child and wanting to be in this world. But what does it mean that he who purifies himself like he is pure, other than we continue to put our faith and our trust and our confidence in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the one who came into this world and took our sin upon himself. The sin that was drowned away in the waters of baptism, that a new person, a new child would come forth in Christ Jesus. 30 years is a long time. I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. But neither is my faith. It has had 30 years to be tried and tested and refined. But I'm not there yet. Maybe there's another 30 years or more or less to be tried and to be refined until he comes again. Maybe I'll run into you 30 years from now. Hope I run into you more than 30 years from now. Hope I run into you next weekend around town. But that really doesn't matter. What will matter most to your parents, to your godparents, to your family, and most especially to me, is that when I see you next, whether it's in this life or not, the important thing is that one day I see you gathered around the throne of the Lamb with all of the saints who will put their faith and their trust in him. And that's my prayer. That's my deepest prayer, not just for you eight young people today, but it's for everybody who is gathered here, whether they're young or they're old, whether they're new in their faith or whether their faith has been tried and refined over 30 years or 40 years or 60 years or, with God's blessing, 80 or 90 years. Because that's really what matters, that God's children continue to purify themselves by putting their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And on that last day, when we all stand around his throne, as God's saints, we stand united in him. Now we stand as saints on earth, and our song joins with those who have gone before us in the faith and who already stand around the Lamb's throne. It's our Lord Jesus' desire that we will join them in that unending song and unending joy of heaven. May God grant to you his Holy Spirit along all of life's journey to keep you strong and keep you steadfast in the faith into which you are baptized and into the faith which today you confess as your own. Amen.